Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Ballabha Giri Varadhari Gopi Janna Ballabha Giri Varadhari Yasoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Ballabha Giri Varadhari Gopi Janna Ballabha Giri Varadhari Yasoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira vanachari. Yamuna tira vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivaradhari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yasoda Nandana Raja Janardanjana. Yasoda Nandana Raja Janardanjana. Yasoda Nandana Raja Janardanjana. Yamuna tira vanachari. Yamuna tira vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Padabraja Kacharya Satarasa Sri Srimad His Divine Loving Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Padabraja Kacharya Satarasa Sri Srimad His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Kodi Vaishnavinda ki jai. Nama Chari Sri Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prince Goho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vinda ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhan ki jai. Sri Brajabhumi Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Sri Mathura Dham ki jai. Sri Navadip Dham ki jai. Sri Mayapur Dham ki jai. Sri Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai. Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Tulsi Devi ki jai. Ganga Mayi ki jai. Yamuna Mayi ki jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasta Jaya Zatarni. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 27, this morning's text is number 22. Please repeat. Jnanena drishtatattvena vairagyena baliyasa tapo yuktena yogena tivrenatma samadhina jnanena drishtatattvena vairagyena baliyasa tapo yuktena yogena tivrenatma samadhina jnanena drishtatattvena vairagyena baliyasa tapo yuktena yogena tivrenatma samadhina. Jnanena drishtatattvena vairagyena baliyasa tapo yuktena yogena tivrenatma samadhina jnanena drishtatattvena vairagyena baliyasa tapo yuktena yogena tivrenatma samadhina jnanena drishtatattvena vairagyena baliyasa tapo yuktena yogena tivrenatma samadhina jnanena drishtatattvena vairagyena baliyasa tapo yuktena yogena tivrenatma samadhina. Ladies, jnanena drishtatattvena vairagyena baliyasa tapo yuktena yogena tivrenatma samadhina jnanena drishtatattvena vairagyena baliyasa tapo yuktena yogena tivrenatma samadhina jnanena drishtatattvena vairagyena baliyasa tapo yuktena yogena tivrenatma samadhina jnanena in knowledge drishtatattvena with vision of the absolute truth vairagyena with renunciation baliyasa very strong tapayuktena by engagement in austerity yogena by mystic yoga tivrena firmly fixed. Atma samadhina, by self-absorption. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This devotional service has to be performed strongly in perfect knowledge and with transcendental vision. One must be strongly renounced and must engage in austerity and perform mystic yoga in order to be firmly fixed in self-absorption. Please repeat. This devotional service has to be performed strongly in perfect knowledge and with transcendental vision. One must be strongly renounced and must engage in austerity and perform mystic yoga in order to be firmly fixed in self-absorption. Purport. Devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be performed blindly due to material emotion or mental concoction. It is specifically mentioned here that one has to perform devotional service in full knowledge by visualizing the Absolute Truth. We can understand about the Absolute Truth by evolving transcendental knowledge, and the result of such transcendental knowledge will be manifested by renunciation. That renunciation is not temporary or artificial, but is very strong. It is said that development of Krishna consciousness is exhibited by proportionate material detachment, or vairagya. If one does not separate himself from material enjoyment, it is to be understood that he is not advancing in Krishna consciousness. Renunciation in Krishna consciousness is so strong that it cannot be deviated by any attractive illusion. One has to perform devotional service in full tapasya, austerity. One should fast on the two Ekadashi days, which fall on the 11th day of the waxing and waning moon, and on the birthdays of Lord Krishna, Lord Rama, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are many such fasting days. Yogena means by controlling the senses and mind. Yoga Indriya Sangyamaha. Yogena implies that one is seriously absorbed in the self and is able by development of knowledge to understand his constitutional position in relationship with the super self. In this way, one becomes fixed in devotional service and his faith cannot be shaken by any material allurement. Om Ajnana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksurunmulatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapatam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupang Sagrajatang Sahagana Raghunathanvitang Tang Sajivang Sadvaitang Sabadutang Parichana Sahitang Krishna Chaitanya Devang Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitangscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacade Satarine He Krishna Karana Sindo Dhinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gauda Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yanena Jista Tatvena, Vairagyena, Baliyasa, Tapo Yuktena Yogena, Tivrinatma Samadhinha. This devotional service has to be performed strongly in perfect knowledge and with transcendental vision. One must be strongly renounced and must engage in austerity and perform mystic yoga in order to be firmly fixed in self-absorption. So Kapila Muni is emphasizing that one has to gain strength, spiritual strength, to engage perfectly in the science of bhakti yoga. And one gets this strength by being pure. Purity is the force. The way that one becomes pure is to be pure in mind, pure in deed, and pure in action, pure in thought, pure in speech. The way that we maintain this purity is through the process of Pancharatrika Bidhi. That means that this is not mental concoction, and it's not also based in sentiment. We study Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in a regular fashion. And we also worship the deity. This is actually how we can meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is recommended by Srila Narad Muni and all the Guru Parampara. So there has to be a combination of studying this transcendental philosophy and also engaging in religious activities. So this combination is perfect. And this is where we can actually get so much strength. Actually, in this particular verse, the word strongly is mentioned twice. Devotional service has to be performed strongly in perfect knowledge and with transcendental vision. One must be strongly renounced and must engage in austerity and perform mystic yoga in order to be firmly fixed in self-absorption. This self-absorption means that we're understanding who we really are, that we're not this body, that we're pure spirit soul. And this is actually a form of samadhi. In the purport to chapter 6, text number 23 in Bhagavad Gita, this particular chapter is entitled Dhyana Yoga. Prabhupada says in page 331, in the yoga system, as described in this chapter, there are two kinds of samadhi called sampragyata samadhi and asampragyata samadhi. When one becomes situated in the transcendental position by various philosophical researches, he is said to have achieved sampragyata samadhi. In the asampragyata samadhi, there is no longer any connection with mundane pleasure, for one is then transcendental to all sorts of happiness derived from the senses. When the yogi is once situated in that transcendental position, he is never shaken from it. Unless the yogi is able to reach this position, he is unsuccessful. Today's so-called yoga practice, which involves various sense pleasures, is contradictory. A yogi indulging in sex and intoxication is a mockery. Even those yogis who are attracted by the siddhis or perfections in the process of yoga are not perfectly situated. If yogis are attracted by the byproducts of yoga, then they cannot attain the stage of perfection, as is stated in this verse. Persons therefore indulging in the make-show practice of gymnastic feats or siddhis should know that the aim of yoga is lost in that way. The best practice of yoga in this age of Krishna is Krishna consciousness, which is not baffling. A Krishna conscious person is so happy in his occupation that he does not aspire after any other happiness. There are many impediments, especially in this age of hypocrisy, to practicing Hatha Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, and Jnana Yoga, but there is no such problem in executing Karma Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. Of course, we know, and I was just having a discussion with Guru Bhakta Prabhu just before class, that in certain countries, it is not so easy to practice openly Krishna conscious transcendental bhakti yoga, especially in Muslim countries. But actually, the word yoga has become internationally known. So actually here in Vrindavan, Prabhupada even told me in 1975, he said, many of these guests that will come and stay in our guest house, our Krishna Balaram guest house, will not be particularly interested in immediately applying themselves to bhakti yoga. So he said, for those people, you can train them up in hatha yoga. Actually, Prabhupada said that. He said, and through getting a taste of practicing yoga, of course, hatha yoga is specifically meant for good health, basically, overcoming different bodily problems, difficulties. And he said, but we can also, through prasadam, through decorating the deity in the temple very nicely, they will naturally become attracted, and eventually they will give up this idea that hatha yoga is the most important type of yoga to practice, and they'll understand through their purified intelligence after visiting regularly and taking prasadam, hearing the kirtan, seeing the beautiful form of the Lord. In this way, they can actually develop vairagya, or renunciation from their hatha yoga, and then they'll be able to practice bhakti yoga. So in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.42, it is stated, bhakti pareshanupavo viraktir anyatra chaisa trika eka kala prapadyamanasya yatashnata syus tusti pushtik shud apayo nugasam. Devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, and detachment from other things, these three occur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the same way as pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person engaged in eating. In other words, it's a completely natural process to take to bhakti yoga, just as when one is feeling hunger pains, it's natural to want to eat. And if the foodstuff is prepared very nicely and it's offered to the Lord, it's actually prasadam. Not only does the body become strong and healthy, but it becomes purified. And so, of course, we encourage everybody who comes to visit Vrindavan not just simply to take darshan of the deity and sing in kirtan, but also to take the Lord's remnants in the form of maha prasadam. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 1.2.2.55-6, it is mentioned there by Srila Rupa Goswami, anasaktasya vishayan yatarham upayun jataha nirbanda krishna sambande yuktang vairagyam uchate prapanchi katatya buddhaya hari sambandi vastunaha mumukshubi paristyago vairagyam falgu katyate. When one is not attached to anything, but at the same time accepts anything in relation to Krishna, one is rightly situated above possessiveness. On the other hand, one who rejects everything without knowledge of its relationship to Krishna is not as complete in his renunciation. So in other words, it's actually transforming one's attachment from material objects, including sense gratification, and indulging the material senses and so many different kinds of sense gratification. But if one is actually able to transpose that desire which arises in the mind at every moment, to dovetail it in remembering Krishna and thinking of Krishna, speaking about Krishna, eating his prasadam, seeing the beautiful form of the Lord, then that is considered real vairagya, real renunciation. Of course, Prabhupada has also mentioned that along with these things that we also perform tapasya, austerities, And what are these austerities? Fasting twice a month from grains? So that's not really an austerity. As most people imagine austerities. Most people imagine, who are not so educated in understanding the true position of yoga, have this vision. At least I know myself, even when I was at school, in my primary school in Scotland, one time my teacher, I remember her name, Mrs. Hunter, she was talking about India. And she was saying, oh, India is a very backward country. They do so many different kinds of strange practices, like lying on a bed of nails, like sitting buried up to their necks in sand, surrounded by fire in the middle of the summer. And in the winter, they go to the mountains and they take freezing cold baths right by the glaciers. So that was the kind of mental image that I had, that, well, these must be either very eccentric people, and it's something I could never even imagine myself practicing, lying in a bed of nails. What, who would do that? My parents never brought me up to think, well, I should give up my soft mattress and try and change it into a bed of nails. And so this is misconception. Of course, there are certainly those yogis who do perform these very austere types of practices. But this is not what is recommended for members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because, of course, Prabhupada has given us the actual proper understanding. He's given us the proper practice that we should be very much attached to performing every day of our lives. In chapter 6, text number 2, it is stated there, Yang sanyasam iti prahur yogam tang didi pandava na yasan yasta sankalpo yogi bhavate kaschana. Translation. What is called renunciation you should know to be the same as yoga, or linking oneself with the Supreme, or son of Pandu, for one can never become a yogi unless he renounces the desire for sense gratification. And the purport, Prabhupada explains, real sannyas yoga, or bhakti, means that one should know his constitutional position as a living entity and act accordingly. The living entity has no separate independent identity. He is the marginal energy of the Supreme. When he is entrapped by material energy, he is conditioned. And when he is Krishna conscious or aware of the spiritual energy, then he is in his real and natural state of life. Now, how do we contact this spiritual energy? How do we contact that? By lying in a bed of nails, by surrounding ourselves with fire in the middle of the summer, by taking freezing cold baths up in the Himalayas in the middle of winter? No. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made the whole process extremely simple and sublime. We simply move our lips and our tongues. Either we can say it quietly to ourselves, or we can say it loudly so that others can hear. And we simply keep repeating, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What could be simpler than that? It is so simple that even a child, a young 2 or 3 year old, can chant. And we can see that in the evening, for the evening aarti, so many families come, and especially the mothers, they bring their little children. And when the aarti is going on, or there's a nice kirtan going on, if Ayendra Prabhu is leading, if they're fortunate to come at that time, everybody is swept up in this spiritual energy, because it is actually tangible. It's tangible. When it's chanted purely, when the Maha Mantra is chanted purely, then you're actually confronted, or you're being absorbed into the transcendental realm. Because the Maha Mantra is not different from Krishna. So Krishna is never alone. So everything is there. All the paraphernalia, all the entourage, all the spiritual potency of Goloka Vrindavan is to be found within the pure chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And it is not subject to time, place, or circumstance. That is an exceedingly amazing mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he allowed the chanting of the holy names to be reverberated. And then he wanted it spread. So he allowed some of his pure representatives that opportunity to spread it beyond India. Because during his time, none of his followers went beyond India. And only in the modern age, when Srila Prabhupada decided to finally, at the end of his life, when he had given up everything, got the opportunity himself to broadcast this message, particularly in America. First of all, he started in America, and then slowly it was introduced to Europe. The first country in Europe was Germany. Then after Germany was the UK. And then from there it spread very, very rapidly. And of course Prabhupada was very enthusiastic to also bring the chanting back to India with his Western followers. So it actually caught on like wildfire. And just like a fire which is created in the jungle by the rubbing of two bamboo canes is very difficult to control. So similarly, this fire of the Maha Mantra is also impossible to control. Even there may be apparently sometimes adverse conditions. We're living in a very dangerous age also, of course. We know that. You just need to look at all the headlines in any of the newspapers published around the world, how dangerous a place this is. But at the same time, it is a very opportune moment because there is so much adversity, there is so much danger, there's so much fear and anxiety. And practically speaking, for the non-devotee, there is no bright future for them. All their plans, all their schemes appear to be failing. This is natural because actually we are meant to suffer. We are meant to think beyond just our material sense pleasure. And this is the role that this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is playing in society, giving some answers to all the problems that people face in the world. So it is important that we strongly practice Krishna consciousness. Because we need that inner strength, because we have to first of all maintain purity ourselves as individuals. And we also have to be strongly situated so that we can also carry this message to others and be good examples so that they can follow Srila Prabhupada's footsteps, because actually we're all supposed to be Prabhupada Anugas, good representatives of Srila Prabhupada. In chapter 6, text number 46, Krishna says, Tapasvi bho diko yogi, jnani bhyo pi mato dika, karmi vyas chadiko yogi, tasma yogi pavarjuna. Translation. A yogi is greater than the ascetic, greater than the empiricist, and greater than the fruitive worker. Therefore, O Arjuna, in all circumstances, be a yogi. So actually, of course, Arjuna wasn't externally, from all intents and purposes, appearing to be a yogi with long flowing beards, long hair, saffron clothing, looking very austere, very skinny. Because we all have this, also I suppose, a misconception that all yogis have to be very skinny. Because after all, they must be practicing all these different asanas. And if a fat person tries to perform these asanas, they'll fail miserably. They don't have the right body. But of course, Arjuna wasn't a skinny, long-haired or matted-haired, saffron-dressed yogi. He was a kshatriya, full of power. He was incredibly strong. He had a very, very powerful body. And it was covered in gold. In those days, there was so much gold that even all their armor was made of gold. Of course, gold is also considered very good for the health. For the upper part of the body, gold is the best material, best metal to wear. And for the lower part, for the legs and for the ankles, silver. So, but actually Krishna is telling him to Arjuna, who's standing on a chariot, just about to, you know, begin one of the biggest battles ever fought in the history of mankind, with 640 million soldiers assembled in Kurukshetra. And Krishna is telling him, in all circumstances, Arjuna, be a yogi. Then he says in the next verse, Yoginamapi sarvesham narkate nantar atmana shradavan bhajate yomang same yuktattamo mataha. And of all yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. So Krishna is giving his opinion. Of course, we all have our opinions. We're very opinionated. That's because Krishna also, he's very opinionated. Whatever qualities we possess, they're all ultimately coming from Krishna. Because we're not just dull objects. We're parts and parcels of Krishna. So we can also be extremely opinionated. But Krishna's opinion is the best. So if we try to also see that well, what is Krishna's opinion in all these circumstances? Of all yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in Krishna, thinks of Krishna within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to Krishna, he is the most intimately united with Krishna in yoga and is the highest of all. So in other words, we have to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness at every moment. Then we become what's known, of course, as abhaya, fearless. Because we know that we are actually following Krishna's opinion. We can have our opinions, but of course, the best opinion always belongs to Krishna. But of course, this is meant for intelligent class of people. Not for the hogs, dogs, camels, and asses type of people. They're simply absorbed in sense gratification, in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. This type of information is useless to them because they can't practice. Because we have to practice diligently and very strongly and with great conviction. In text 6, there's so many nice verses in this chapter. This is chapter 5, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. Sanyasas tu mahabhaho dukam aptum ayogataha yoga yukto manir brahma na chirena digachati. Merely renouncing all activities, yet not engaging in the devotional service of the Lord, cannot make one happy. But a thoughtful person engaged in devotional service can achieve the Supreme without delay. This is very important to also understand. that just by merely renouncing all activities, yet not engaging in devotional service to the Lord, cannot ultimately make one happy. Here Krishna, of course, is describing what we call the Mayavadi sannyasis. They're also renounced. They're far more renounced than our ISKCON sannyasis. Our ISKCON sannyasis, they need a plate of Mahaprasad every day. They need all their underwear and their clothing washed every day by their servant. They need everybody paying their obeisances to them at every moment. They need to be at the front of the queue. They have to be first for darshan. They have to be first for everything. They're not that renounced when it comes to Mayavad sannyasis. Mayavad sannyasis can completely put them to shame when it comes to renunciation. But the point is that renunciation, because it's not really helping those Mayavadi sannyasis come to the point of surrendering to Krishna, becoming humble. It's not an easy life being a sannyasi in ISKCON, because we have that training, because that's the way that we always reciprocated the Srila Prabhupada, who was the perfect sannyasi, that we gave him the best car, the best clothing, the best temple, the best deity worship, the best garland. Why was that? Because actually Prabhupada is representing, he's the viceroy, he's like as good as the king. Viceroy means as good as the king. Just like the last viceroy of India, he was treated just like the king emperor, George VI. That was the last king who was given that title of king emperor. He was the emperor of India. And all the rest of the empire, the so-called British Empire at that time, in the 1930s, 1940s, before everything was all lost, was given away. And it was the end of that illusion that the sun never set on the British Empire anywhere on the planet, because they were so victorious everywhere. They were great at conquering people and nations and large swathes of land. So, Mountbatten was his name, Earl Mountbatten and his wife. They came to hand over the country back to the people of India, but with a sting in the tail, because of course they also divided the country and made a new country called Pakistan, which didn't exist before the time of independence. So he was given the royal treatment. He was given the best car. He was given the best palatial building to stay in with his wife. He was given the best food. He was given the best everything. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada, he deserved all these things because, as he said in 1966, to the astonishment to all of the young American followers, that you should treat me as good as God. You should see me as good as God. And Prabhupada was qualified to say that because he was actually representing God. He was his viceroy. So after a while it kind of sunk in, well, maybe we shouldn't be so familiar with them. Maybe we should. Because Prabhupada was doing all the cooking for them. They weren't cooking. He was cooking for them. Because he was actually so expert at attracting the conditioned living entity and waking up the dormant consciousness. But he did it in a very humble way because he was humility personified. So slowly but surely then the devotees when they came to the point of accepting him as, you know, officially, formally, by taking initiation. So Prabhupada then decided, well, now you should be trained up properly. Now you should actually see what is the real business of the guru and what is the real business of the disciple. And then, of course, Prabhupada wanted to expand his society as quickly as possible. And he was looking for young men who were very strongly convinced in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and who could also preach to others. And therefore, when young boys came forward requesting sannyas, Prabhupada knew that there would be so many difficulties. He wasn't expecting them all to turn out to be pure Vaishnavas. But out of a necessity, the fact that he was very advanced in age, he had suffered by 1967 two heart attacks, one in the boat, the Jaladutta, in the Atlantic Ocean crossing, and one time in New York. And of course he had to go to hospital, because it appeared to the devotees at that time that Prabhupada was very, very sick. So out of necessity, Prabhupada wanted to push on Krishna consciousness. And because he was very anxious that all the ashram should be there too, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and of course sannyas, then that position was given to those who requested it. In the beginning, it wasn't even hardly questioned, you can say. Again, out of necessity. As they say, necessity is the mother of invention. So we have that established, of course, since the 1960s. This is now 2008, almost 2009. But still, we're a very, very young society. Hardly, if you make the material calculation, 1966, when the society was formed, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, in the summer of 1966. So we're only 43 years old. But Prabhupada was always very optimistic and confident that in the future generations, because of the fact that the parents are practicing Krishna consciousness, that the parents are keeping very strictly to the tenets of the four regulative principles, that their children and their children's children and their children's children will become more and more qualified in all respects, in all ashrams. That was Prabhupada's vision. He actually said that. He said, even this deity worship that we're practicing, you're supposed to be born into a certain line of pujaris. Of course, we're not particularly interested in this being born a brahmana or born in a brahmana family, because we're Vaishnavas, and Vaishnavas are transcendental to all the ashrams. And all the varnas also. Because ultimately we know we are the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. But he said still there's a certain purity of the consciousness has to be there to practice deity worship properly. But Prabhupada said all these things can actually be purified anyway in the fire of the chanting of the holy name. Even he made that statement about when our Krishna Balaram deities were installed in 1975 in Ram Nomi time, that Prabhupada didn't want us to be ostracized from the Vrindavan society. He didn't want any of the local Goswamis and the Pandas to challenge. If we had personally installed the deities ourselves, he was very much conscious that there would be some stigma attached to that. Therefore, he got the bridge basis themselves to come and take over the whole ceremony. There weren't any ISKCON devotees participating in the deity installation here. It was all done by all the other temple Goswamis and Pandas. Just see the brilliance of Srila Prabhupada, because they're not going to, of course, criticize themselves. How can they do that? They would lose face. But actually Prabhupada told us, he said, because of this etiquette, we had to do this. But otherwise, he said, simply sitting down and having kirtan, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that is sufficient. We don't need these rules and these rituals, ritualistic ceremonies. This one, of course, lasted for 1 week. And it was a very complex system. But actually, those with strong conviction, just like Prabhupada, he was one wonderful Vaishnava. And his strong desire was to spread Krishna consciousness to others. He was already, of course, himself Krishna conscious from birth. So because he was Krishna conscious from birth, he already had a head start on all of us, because nobody else was Krishna conscious from birth. At least not in the first wave of devotees that came and associated with Srila Prabhupada. But as I said, in the future generations, then we'll see that those children and the children of those children, they'll be Krishna conscious from birth. There's an amazing difference. And Prabhupada said, you will see extraordinary things will happen. So that means that the future growth and development of Krishna consciousness is extremely bright. Our future is actually something to look forward to, something that we should have pride in, and something that we should be reminded that by development of knowledge, understanding our constitutional position in relationship with Krishna, that we're the eternal humble servants of the servants of the servants of the servants, then we're also guaranteed success. Prabhupada said that. He said, you chant your whole life, minimum 16 rounds every day of your life, you follow the four regular principles, then you go back to home, back to Godhead. What is the difficulty? And it may appear to be very difficult, very complicated, and not very sure what my destination is, because at any moment the waves of Maya can come and sweep me away. But actually, if we have this strong conviction, even the greatest tsunami waves will not sweep away those sincere devotees. Because we have such a nice society that is giving shelter to all of us. I just got this actually from, I don't know if you're, we could just read a little bit of this, if you're interested to hear. This is an article that was written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in English in 1871. At that time he was 33 years old. And he writes, "Our love must be without any object whatever that concerns ourselves. This must be a natural emotion to the deity as our lover, without inference or experience. Salvation, dear as it is, should not be the object of this love. Salvation, dear as it is, should not be the object of this love. What then about other shapes of felicity? Love of God is its own reward. Salvation is a concomitant consequence, must be a handmaid of love, But we must not look on it as its main object. If rationalists be prepared to believe this, he becomes a theist of the Vaishnava class. But the mere assuming of the name is of no consequence. Though fully aware that the unconditioned has no conditions whatever, yet our holy and sweet principle of love take a quite different view of the matter. Reason says one thing, but love prescribes its contrary. Reason tells me that God has no sorrow, but love sees God in tears for those of his sons that are misled to evil. Reason tells me that the strict laws of God reward and punish me in a cold manner. But love reveals that God slackens his laws to the repentant soul. Reason tells me that with all his improvements, man will never touch the absolute God. The unconditioned as he is, accepts an eternal marriage with the conditioned soul of man. Reason tells me that God is in infinite space and time. But love describes that the all-beautiful God is sitting before us like a respected relative and enjoying all the pleasures of society. So this is actually what Prabhupada is stating here. That by understanding that Krishna is a person, God is a person, just like this last sentence, he's mentioning that Krishna is just like a relative. Of course, we're all related to Krishna in our own personal ways. There are five principal rasas, and every one of us has a specific, particular rasa or relationship with Krishna. Because he's the absolute person, that relationship is not relative. It's eternal. Relative means temporary, just like all our relatives in this life, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, sons, daughters, uncles, aunties. The list is endless of all the relatives that we have, but they're just like Prabhupada when he reached New York. He would write that, where are all these family members now? I'm simply left with a list of names. They're just a list of names. Because all these relatives are all temporary. Whereas our relationship with Krishna has no beginning and has no end. And that's the type of relations that we should be cultivating. As Prabhupada says, yoga indriya sangyamaha. Yogena implies that one is seriously absorbed in the self and is able by development of knowledge to understand his constitutional position in relationship with the super self. In this way, one becomes fixed in devotional service and his faith cannot be shaken by any material allurement. So we'll finish there. Is any questions or comments? I think maybe for all the rest of the devotees' benefit.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Regarding yoga and Islam, there was a news item in Australia 2 months ago, a statement of Malaysian High Commission that they are going to ban yoga in Malaysia.
Well, no, they haven't banned yoga. They've banned the repetition of names. They said yoga is fine, but you can't repeat names while you're practicing yoga.
What I read in the Australian newspaper was they are going to ban because they think it is dangerous for Islam.
No, they actually, because I read further, and Mr. Badawi, he spoke out of turn. Actually, a lot of the sultans who actually rule the country, they said, yoga's fine. It's the repetition of names That is not fine. Because then it becomes, you're not saying Allah, 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 Allah Akbar. You're saying Om Namo Shivaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that's what they were a little cautious of. And this they wanted to ban. They said, not yoga. Yoga, doing all your asanas, that's fine, but don't repeat names.
So there must have been a lot of noises from other communities in Malaysia after that statement.
Well, the thing is that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in Malaysia is protected because that is a division of Hinduism. So Hindus are allowed to practice freely within their community, as long as they're not proselytizing and converting anybody from Islam, especially, to becoming Hindu. That they're completely against. So it didn't really affect our activities. Didn't particularly affect even Rathayatras. But any yoga teacher was told that from now on, you can only teach the asanas, but you can't teach the repetition of different names. See, actually, Prabhupada said that. He said that we should expect that there will be some outcry from certain parts of society, because they're seeing that we are a threat. And what are we threatening? We're threatening their sense gratification. Actually, Prabhupada even said very boldly one time, he said, and this is in America, he said, if the CIA really studied our books, they would see that I am completely against meat-eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling, which are direct threats to their whole social structure. And they would lock me in jail and throw away the key. But because they have not taken the time to read the books, then we are at liberty to distribute those books to as many people as possible. Because I'm coming, I'm a very small, elderly Indian gentleman. Doesn't look threatening. But actually, Prabhupada said, we are the greatest of all the terrorists. We are transcendental terrorists. Because we are terrorizing the personification of Kali. We're threatening his domain, Kali. You understand?
They were all Hindus at one time anyhow.
Everybody was part of the Vedic society. Not Hindu, because of course Hindu, that's a modern word which was actually invented by the Muslims. It's a Muslim word, Hindu. Because it really denoted those people who were residing on the banks of the Indus, the river Indus. So they called them Hindus. It's a geographical terminology applied by the Mohammedans when they came from their countries and invaded India. We're actually all part of the Vedic. We're all actually, of course, ultimately, every one of us, we're all eternal spirit souls, the eternal servants of the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's just that our vision is limited in some parts of the world, and it's not been revealed, just like Gaurav Bhakti was telling me, that unfortunately there are many Muslim countries where there are no temples, there are no devotees. So any of you who are in this pioneering spirit, there are vacancies in the following cities: Cairo, Tripoli, Algiers, Casablanca, Marrakesh, Damascus, Baghdad, Basra. Because ultimately, all these places, because it's already been predicted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there will be centers for practicing devotional service even in those cities. And so many other places, and I'm not even mentioning all the Central African countries, Burkina Faso, Niger, Mauritania, and so on. Gambia, Sierra Leone. So don't think all the work has been done. Oh, there's nothing for me to do. I just, you know, end up in Vrindavan, spend the rest of my life chanting in front of the deities, Krishna Balaram. That's nice. But if you've got this pioneering spirit, if you really want to strongly get a dose of, you know, this type of exposure in pioneering, opening temples. There's so many places in the world that don't have devotees, even today. But they're just waiting to meet us. They're just waiting for that opportunity, that's all. You want to ask?
I would like to know about sannyas, because it seems the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is the one who really stressed it, but it was existing before, but not so much the way Babaji's, and he's the one who really implemented and for the preaching, you know. But what's the history of the sannyas? Can you clarify why it was not so much?
Well, if you look at the history during the 19th century of the Vaishnava sampradayas, they had fallen into disrepute. They were very disreputable. They were considered abhorrent. And those people that would dress up as sannyasis, they were imitation. And they were engaging in so much sinful activity. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, he was very strict. Of course, he never took sannyas himself. He was a householder his whole life, and then he took Babaji the last few years of his life. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his son, he decided that this has to be implemented, because the four ashrams have to be seen and have to be recognized. But again, he was also very strict in who should become sannyas. But even then, we also know the history, that there were so many of his sannyasis turned out to be not able to maintain their sannyas ashram. Because actually it's not recommended in this age. It's not recommended by within the Vedas. But still, if one is very sincere and one is able to practice, then it's a wonderful ashram. It's actually very necessary for society to see that. But generally speaking, it's only for a very, very tiny minority of devotees. Although Prabhupada does say very clearly that according to the age of one, of the men especially in our society, there's certain years when you're a brahmachari, up to 25 years, then there's marriage up to 50 years, then there's vanaprasth, then up to 60, because Prabhupada took sannyas when he was in his 60s, wasn't it? In 1959. So what was his age at that time? And he was born in 1896. He was in his 60s, not in his 50s. But he gave sannyas to some young boys in America that were 19, 20 years old. Because he wanted to, you know, establish, ultimately he wanted to establish Varnashram. So it's a very kind of, it's not long in existence, this sannyas ashram in the Gaudiya Mutt. It was started how old was Bhaktisiddhanta when he took sannyas? And actually, he took sannyas in front of a photograph of his Guru Maharaj, Gaurkishore Das Babaji, because already he had expired by that time. So it was in the last less than, 100 years. So our history is actually still quite young. But in the future, Prabhupada predicted that so many of our own children will be naturally renounced. They'll have that natural vairagya quality from birth. And they'll be self-effulgent. In other words, it'll be obvious that they're to be respected, that they're actually very, very advanced spiritually. Because of their heritage. So we'll finish there. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Pramanandi Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Rama, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Good boy.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.